Well, it's good to see everybody back again. Good to see everybody better. That was quite a quite a siege. I'd like to this morning look at the book of Psalms, the 51st chapter, starting at verse 1. Prayer of David. It says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." I was thinking about David's prayer here. David failed. He failed God. He did things that he shouldn't have done. Verse 14, he says, "Deliver me from blood guiltiness." You know, David was guilty of innocent blood. But I want to notice verse 16, 17, it says, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." You know, David realized he could have brought an offering, you know, and he probably did. He probably made his offering. But without a broken spirit, a broken heart, without realizing and repenting of his transgression, the offering of itself wouldn't have done anything. But David called upon God. He said, "A sacrifice of God or a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." You know, the Lord will not despise when we come to Him humbly. We come to Him seeking His face in an humble manner, an humble spirit. God, I believe He sees that. He recognizes that. And I, when I think about David and his predecessor, the one that went before him, Saul, we know Saul failed God also. He was disobedient to what he was supposed to do, what the Lord told him to do. And in my human eyesight, my human looking at it, it looks like David's transgression was greater than Saul's. Saul allowed an evil king to live, an evil man to live, and David killed a righteous man. But David found that place of repentance, and when you read the account of Saul, Saul never really seemed like came to that place of a sorrow of heart, of really seeking God and asking for cleansing of his heart, cleansing of his life. Saul, it seemed like, went from bad to worse. But David, I don't believe the Lord loved David any more than he did Saul. I believe the Lord loved Saul, but Saul never came to that place of turning back and seeking God for repentance. I believe the Lord could have restored Saul just as easy as he could have David. But I'm thankful today, when we do fail the grace of God, when we fail to be what God wants us to be, or we fail to do what he tells us to do, maybe it's a sin of omission, a sin of neglect, whatever the case might be, I'm thankful today that Lord has forgiveness for our failures. He mentioned here in verse 11, he said, "Cast me not away from thy holy presence." In other words, don't throw me on the junk pile. Don't discard me. Don't get rid of me. That's his prayer here. And I think the other day, Leah and I was going down the road and we saw, I'm not real good on my makes and models. I know it was a Chevrolet because I could read it on the back. I judge probably an early 60 models pickup. But I made comment, it was a copper color, and I think I've seen it here in town before. It was a copper color, but it had kind of a vanilla colored top. And it had copper looking letters on the back with the vanilla around it. It looked really nice. It looked good. And I told Leo, I said, that guy must really feel good about that truck. Because from the date, judging by the date, the age of that truck, most of them are on the junk pile. Most of them are in the junk heaps, no longer working. And I think about the process of rebuilding and how the Lord, this man back here, I don't know, I think Galen said his name is Jerry, the guy that owned this shop right here. I believe his name was Jerry Lewis. Anyway, I went over there to ask him permission about cutting down the trees. He wasn't in the shop. His workers were in there. But I tell you, I saw a gold mine of old cars that had new paint, new interiors, there must have been a half a dozen cars in there that were old, old, oldies that had been restored. And I admire that. I admire someone that's got the ability and the know-how and the skill to go in there. They've got to take off the bad. They've got to take off the things that is not working properly. And they've got to replace those parts that aren't working with parts that are working. And then they replace, and then they paint, and the finished product is, I don't know. And I don't know that something, I would rather see something like that than, you know, the big, nice 2023 truck just coming off the lot. I mean, my attention is drawn, maybe it's because of my age. My attention is drawn more because I know somebody has put some great effort and great time and great skill into rebuilding, getting rid of the rusty, getting rid of the dysfunctional of things. But I'm thankful today that God is able to do that in our lives also. I appreciate so much the Lord. And David said, cast me not away from thy holy presence. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Don't just let me go out and be on my own. But restore. Restore unto me the things that I've lost. You know, there's a lot of wrecks that happen in life. Sometimes they're our fault. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're, you know, we were doing the very best we could and things happened. But I believe the Lord wants to be able to restore and to renew those things that aren't working right, those things that have hindered us. I believe God wants to, and I don't believe the Lord is short on parts today. Another thing we did, we bought an old stove the other day, an old Ashley wood stove. And we got over there, and it was a little bit of a drive. We got over there. He didn't tell me it didn't have an ash door on it. It was a brand new stove, but it was 40, 50 years old. It had never been used, but it had been dropped. And there was a little bit of dent, but it hadn't, I don't think it ever had a fire in it, but it had been dropped. There was some damage done, and I was really disheartened because I made this little trip over there, and lo and behold, there's no ash door. Well, I got a text from him a little bit late. I didn't see it until we got home, but I got a text. He gave me a name and number of a guy that has an Ashley stove that's going to get rid of his and use a new Ashley stove. And the guy told me, he said, I'll sell you the ash door. I'll sell it to you. You can have it. He said, just give me a couple of weeks, and I'll sell you some. Hopefully, I'm thankful that hopefully it'll work out. But the Lord doesn't have a part shortage. He doesn't have anything that's obsolete that will not work. He doesn't have this. He has things available for us. If we'll look to Him and seek Him with our hearts and in a humble heart and spirit, God is able to help us. He's able to strengthen us and able to be with us. And I thank God for that this morning. Another scripture I want to get is Jeremiah, the 18th chapter. And this is probably one of my favorite Old Testament scriptures. In verse 1 it says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it? If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. Here the Lord was speaking to Jeremiah, and he told him to go to the potter's house, and he went there and he began to... Have you ever had experiences like that? Maybe you didn't really know it was the Lord speaking to you, but you found yourself in a certain location and you began to observe, and the answer came. The Lord began talking to your heart. Now, it says the Lord told Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house. I don't know if that was an audible voice. I don't know if that was a dream. I don't know if that was an impression from the Holy Spirit. But afterwards, I believe he recognized that the hand of the Lord was there when it dawned on him what the Lord was wanting to get to him and wanting to say to him. And he was saying, can I not do with you, O house of Israel, as this potter has done with the clay? Instead of throwing it on the cast pile, the junk pile, instead of throwing it, discarding it, saying it didn't have any value, saying it's no account, I want to say the devil will tell us that. The devil will bring those thoughts to our mind, to our spirit, to our hearts. That's the enemy. When he says that your life doesn't have a purpose, you don't have value, you might as well quit. That's the enemy. That's the enemy speaking to us. The Lord offers hope today. The Lord offers, regardless of where our failure might have been, regardless of what situation or the wreck, maybe it wasn't our fault, maybe it was someone else's fault, it doesn't matter. There's damage happens when there's a wreck, there's damage that occurs, and God can reshape, He can remold, He can make the vessel over again. If He can do that for a nation, God can do that for a nation. He said, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, if they turn their hearts, if they turn from their evil ways, I will repent from my pronouncement of judgment against them, and I will build, I'll uphold, I'll make it happen. If He can do that for a nation, I believe He can do that for a family. And I believe He can do that for an individual. That's a great miracle. That's a great undertaking. But God can do the great. God can do the things that look impossible to us are possible with God. I remember having kind of a similar experience like this. I was in my study at Guthrie, and we lived there on Sooner Road up there close to the school. And I've told that story before, and I'll probably tell it again till I expire, because it meant so much to me. I was in my little study. It was just a little cubicle. It was probably 6 by 8, something like that. Just a desk and carpet and place for a few books. Place, a quiet place to kneel and have prayer and study. Anyway, I heard of chickens cackling and carrying on, and I went to the window, and the neighbor's rooster was coming across our yard to our chicken house. And I think he was interested in our hens. And he flew over the fence and ended up in the pen with our rooster. And my rooster was a Rhode Island Red. It was probably twice the size of that little rooster. He was a little rooster. Anyway, I watched, and it was one of those moments where God spoke to my heart, like he did here at Jeremiah. I saw that little rooster. I saw him close his eyes. My rooster, they had pecked at each other, but my rooster got on top. It didn't last, wasn't very long. My rooster got on top, and it was just, and I watched it. And I finally watched him close his eyes. He quit. He gave up. Well, I was moved with compassion. I picked the fence up and I knocked my rooster off, and that rooster came flying out from underneath that fence. And the Lord spoke a valuable lesson to me there. That little rooster still had life, but he had lost his courage. He had lost his hope, and he gave up. You know, the enemy would like for us to lose our hope, our courage, our strength. He would like for us to lose our desire, our vision, our hope. And he can bring different things. Another verse I wanted to get is Ezekiel, the 17th chapter. I won't take time to read it. We don't have to go there. Read it. But it said the Lord showed him a valley of dry bones. And he said, Son of man, can these bones live? And the prophet gave a safe answer. Lord, thou knowest. You know, there are situations that can look hopeless. And I want to say there are situations that surround us in a spiritual way that look very hopeless, that look very dark. But the Lord can help us and give us hope in the midst. And he told him, he said, Son of man, prophesy unto these bones. And he prophesied. And it didn't happen all at once. It didn't happen just in a split second. But things began to change. Things began to move. There was a shaking, there was moving. things that were scattered. You know, maybe that was an old battle site, the place that he was at. Maybe that was an old battle site. Bones scattered around, it just looked like everything was scattered. And things started coming together because he did what God told him to do. So Lord, help us today to listen to the voice of the Lord, to try to perceive what God is talking to us about, what he's speaking to us about, because that's where God is able to work, when there's humility and obedience to his word, to his directive, to his direction. Those things that look impossible with us are not impossible with God this morning. I've been studying the letters to the churches, and they had some things missing. They had some things right, but they had some things missing. They had some parts that weren't working. They had some dysfunction in their lives. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit, was faithful to point out to them the good things as well as what they were missing on. And he gave them opportunity to make correction. And I believe the Lord's Spirit is like that today. I believe he's faithful. I believe he speaks to us. I believe he can help us to see the things that we need to see. But he has, you know, the Ephesus congregation, they had so many things going good, going right. But it said they had lost their first love. Pretty important ingredient. Very vital ingredient. But I don't believe there's a shortage of God's love today that we can't get a hold of. You know, if there is a lack, if there is a need that we have in our spirit, in our life, in our walk with Christ, the Lord can fulfill that. If we need more love, he's got more love. If we need greater courage, we can go before the throne of grace and find courage and grace to help in time of need. If we need greater patience, greater endurance, whatever the need might be this morning, there is a supply house for you and I. It shouldn't be they probably didn't like to hear that they had some parts missing. They probably didn't appreciate enjoying hearing that they had a need, that they had a lack. But God was faithful to reveal that. We probably don't appreciate that thought either, that something's missing or we've got a lack somewhere. But it's okay. If we have faith and confidence and trust and believe that God is able to fill the need, he's able to give me more of what I don't have to help me in my situation. He has the things necessary there for us to make corrections, to receive what he has for us, that we can be all that he wants us to be in this life. I trust this morning, I pray that we're, you look around to the things that's happening in society, it's easy to get discouraged, disillusioned, disjointed. But Lord, help us today to keep our faith, our hope, our confidence intact, because God, the Lord does have the answers to our situation. He has the answers. There's one verse that we sing. It says, can the God of all creation leave our heart yet craving more? You know, the Lord has filling place. He has that place of fulfillment in Him that we can find as we look to Him and seek Him with all of our hearts. He's able to fill those needs for us. And I appreciate Brother Galen's encouragement this morning on having goals this morning. And I pray that we will have hope. You know, sometimes sometimes people have tried over and over in certain areas and failed and failed and failed again. And that can be discouraging. And that can be disheartening. But I want to encourage us this morning that the Lord has, He does have a place of victory. It seems like many things that we see, my natural look in our day and time is like the valley of dry bones. That's what I see in my natural look. I see the valley of dry bones spiritually. But God still wants us to have hope and faith and confidence that He's able to help us in our circumstances, in our trial, in our battle. And I thank God today. I believe in Him. I believe in the Word. I believe His promises are still true to us. And I want to keep my faith and my trust in Him. I appreciate your attention this morning.